Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this October 5th, 2022. You have your host, James J. Mailoff, here, and we are going to spend the entire hour with our good friends at the Wood County Sheriff's Department. We have Sheriff Sean Becker here with us today. Good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning.
Oh, wrong one. Sorry about that. Yep, here we go.
I could try again. Good morning. Here.
See, I like the second take better anyway. Of course, a big shout out to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Say good morning to Taylor and the gang over there. Thanks for being here, guys. A lot to talk about today, Sheriff. I wanted to start things off in somewhere where we don't get a chance to do this very often, and I know how stressful and tense the job can be. I'm talking about coaching high school kids.
Here we go.
Because a big game over the weekend.
Let's start there. I'm in my eighth season of coaching at Lincoln High School, and what a season it's been. I'll tell you, it's the last 3 weeks have been just an emotional, like, roller coaster, because we're on the road playing Hortonville for their homecoming, and we beat them 17-14. Next week we go to DC Everest and their homecoming. You know, and we beat them, I think it was like 28-21 or somewhere around there. And then last weekend was a biggie. You know, here it's our in-county rival and playing Marshfield, and they're undefeated in the conference, having a great season. And, you know, that stadium is something else.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, you know, getting the opportunity to be part of this coaching staff for as long as I have, that's probably, in my opinion, the best stadium in the state.
Yeah.
The way that's, you know, the Marshfield School District, you know, fundraised and put that together, it's just a phenomenal stadium. But anyway, to the game. You know, the kids knew that it was going to be a challenge. You know, we prepared for it, and it came down to, you know, our kicker. Ashton Fisher, like 4 seconds left, put one through, and we won 17-14. Now we're kind of in the driver's seat for conference. If we can pull one off this Friday for homecoming against Appleton West, we'll at least get a share of the conference and be set up pretty well for playoffs. But no, I appreciate you bringing that up. That was a heck of a game. You know, sorry to Marshfield, it didn't work out, but you know, it could have gone either way.
Yeah, I've had to apologize to our Marshfield listeners a couple of times because my homerism has really shown with being a Lincoln grad. Yeah. I am very, very happy with the outcome of that game. Really happy just for all these kids, though, too. I mean, it never gets lost on me that it's still high school athletics. Everybody was okay. They came out of the game healthy and on both sides of the ball. A great job by Teal. Nice. That kid has got some nice skills to him. And
he's really improving, you know, because we're a running team. But just to see, you know, week by week, the improvement of the passing opportunities, and he's doing really well.
Yeah,
you know, we're sitting good. The team is sitting good. You know, health wise, you know, they know what's on the line. It's, you know, it's Rapids' homecoming this week, so you know, they can't get lost in that. There's still a lot of work to do, and that's been the message that we've been telling them. You know, in practice, okay, you know, enjoy the week. You know, you only get, you know, one homecoming a year, and in the seniors, it's your last one. But remember, Friday night's Friday night, and there's still work to do, and we, you know, I like our chances, but you never know. I mean, you look at, you know, the last 3 weeks going into hostile environments, if you want to call it that, you know, with the crowds just, you know, the stadium's packed, and the kids responded, you know, really well to adversity, and I'm very proud of them. And again, proud to have a small part to work with the kids, and that's what it's all about. And it's great season. Now we could be back-to-back conference champs, and that hasn't happened for a long time.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's happened in my lifetime. I'm not sure. I don't remember. I did want to mention one other thing, because I watched the highlights on Channel 9. I had a class that night, and I wasn't able to catch it, but I watched the highlights, and they're interviewing the kids afterwards, and they always do a great job in these interviews. The interviewer and the kids both do a great job. And then they interview the kicker, and this kid is bigger than me. Like he looks like a linebacker. It made sense, because I don't know what it looked like from the stadium, but the kick on TV, it looked like it just shot right through. Like usually these kicks kind of go around or over or whatever. This one willed through. Like it was, I think it might still be going. I'm not sure if it's landed yet. Like they just nailed that thing through. And then you see this kid, and he's a big kid. He's a built kid. Does he play another position?
He's a D-back.
I thought so. Okay.
Defensive backs. And no, just a very athletic. Played soccer last year. And, you know, I've seen him off-season in the weight room, like, man, you should be playing football. And, you know, and I think that's his passion, too. I know his dad used to play college football. And so he came back to play with us. And we're lucky to have him. And he's got a heck of a leg. And Hortonville, he kicked, I believe, was a 47-yard field goal.
I remember that one.
And I'm not sure if that was a school record, but it's close. I mean, he's got – and he's a junior. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm hoping after, you know, our successful season this year that he'll get an opportunity to go to some kicking camps, because not many kids in high school can – kick that far. You know, when my daughter kicked, reminiscing now, it was 8 years ago. She reminded me how old she was, and I told her, well, how old do you think that makes me feel?
Yeah, right.
But anyway, just knowing, going through that position at a high school level, it's pretty rare to have somebody, you know, consistently be accurate over 40 yards. So I think he's going to have a good opportunity after high school.
To be able to do it is one thing. To be able to do it in the game, in the pressure and everything. He's talking about it. He's like, yeah, I got a chance to warm up a couple times beforehand. I'm like, geez, this kid, like one or two times, it just goes out there, does it. Ice water in his veins, man. Good game.
On his resume to, you're exactly right, James. Winning a football game at a high school level, especially his age, in a big game.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking, this was, in our season, the biggest game at that point. Each week gets that important when you get later in the season, but that was huge.
I was saying the week before in Playmakers, this could go down as the game of the year in high school football. And I'm so far, it's looking that it could be that way. Yeah. We'll see. Great game. And a big shout out to those kids, the parents that get these kids to practices. And, of course, Coach Biola and you and the rest of the coaching staff. I do bring it up in part because I don't think that the audience knows this stuff. You tend to be a pretty humble guy, sir. And I think that it's noteworthy. I think it's important.
Oh, I appreciate it.
I don't think any one of us would have any qualms that when you checked out for the day, when you got done with your job, if you just went home and vegged, you earned it. You deserve it. You have one of the more stressful jobs in the world to be able to do. What do? You take that and you go and work with high school kids, which is arguably maybe almost as stressful as what you're doing already. I admire it.
Well, it depends on the it's a different stress. I love both jobs, and I'm fortunate, and I always talk about a team. The team at the Sheriff's Department is awesome. I'm extremely lucky at every level to have the teammates there, and then to get the opportunity to coach at Lincoln High School. That's a different team atmosphere, working, like you said, with the kids. But then just the relationships that I've built throughout the years with Tony, with Gus Mancuso, with John Russell, and I know Kent had to step away because he moved away, Kent Anderson. But even with new coaches coming in, it's just an awesome camaraderie. Yeah. And then it really revolves around one thing. The kids and what can we do to have them improve and believe and move forward? Because I've been part of some tough years, but still, it really revolves around the kids and the opportunity they have to play at that level in high school. It doesn't happen all the time, and it's just a great opportunity for the kids.
When it comes to a job like this, which it not everybody can do. Lots of people are going into the industry, unfortunately. No. It's important to note these things, for one, because it's not common that we have this, but it's also a little more common than I think people realize, whether it's a police department, first responders, firefighters, sheriff's department, going above and beyond. It's not enough that you guys do the job that you do, but then you go and put into the community in other ways, with coaching and other things that you've done. We could go back and forth and spend the whole hour giving examples of this, not just here in our state, but around the country, of officers, of people doing these things. To me, I don't think that this is necessarily done. This is more of an organic thing. But I think that part of the reason why we're seeing hope with the bridge of law enforcement and communities getting stronger, I don't think it's getting divided more. And I'm going off of inner city talk, the people, the friends that I have in inner city. So I don't want to talk rural necessarily, but I think that you could include both. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a coincidence. I don't think it's a coincidence that is not as bad as it is kind of portrayed to be at times. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's perfect, and everything could use some good more work.
Oh, yeah.
But in area in communities like ours or some of the, my old neighbor stomping grounds in Chicago, this is a thing. This exists. There is a good connection. There is a good relationship there. And it, whether it's, you know, we talked about this during the pandemic, an officer stopping and playing, shooting some hoops with some kids,
yeah,
or handing out baseball cards, any of these things, mm-hmm, all this stuff adds up to that bridge being stronger.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. You know, I can only speak for, you know, our community, you know, and our Wood County community, but, you know, branching out to, you know, other law enforcement, I you're exactly right. You know, I believe that, you know, the support is there. And I can go back to, you know, our department, you know, we heavily fundraise for our canine unit. And then just looking at the recent success of things that people approached us on to, mm-hmm, hey, what can we do to help? You know, we're blessed to have four dogs. I tell people that because that's all based from the community. You know, we used to have one canine unit, and then it continued to expand, and that's all based upon the community support. You know, we had an extremely successful golf outing, you know, over the summer. And then recently Wheelers came to us and said, hey, we want to do a brat fry for you. You know, it wasn't anything that we sought out. They came to us to support us, and they did it in Marshfield and Wisconsin Rapids. Mm. And just to get that interaction with the community and the people coming and seeing us, you know, seeing the dogs, seeing what, hey, this is what we're paying for.
Mm-hmm.
And the support has been just extremely generous, you know, and that falls into what you just said, James, you know, that community support coming by and whether they even donate anything or if they just come and say, this never gets old for me.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, thank you for your service. Yeah. Hey, you're doing a great job. You know, you and your team are doing awesome work. You know, those are the compliments that any law enforcement, if they hear from a community member, won't forget. And I believe that the direction that we're going is very positive. Nothing's perfect. Mm-hmm. I think we understand that. But, you know, to the other point that you brought up a few minutes ago, you're right. We don't get the applicants that we were getting before. And that's somewhat frustrating because, you know, not that I love this job, but I love what it stands for. You know, the protect and serve is something that I live and breathe, you know, and I have for a long time. That's why, you know, when you're a young college student, you look at, hey, what can I do to make a difference in the community? And you realize that. And that's, yeah, the path I took. And it was so competitive, you know, when I started, you know, in this career almost 30 years ago. You know, my first application to Stevens Point PD and Portage County Sheriff's, where I remember we were taking the test in phases because there's over 500 people applying for one position.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, this is going to be tough for me to get into, you know. And I got my degree, and then, you know, my wife and I, Julian, had to make that choice to, hey, all right, if we want to get into the area that we want to live and, you know, raise a family in central Wisconsin, we knew we had to go somewhere to get some experience because that's what you're up against at that time frame. Mm-hmm. You know, so we did. And then fortunately came back to central Wisconsin, and, you know, the rest is history. But, you know, now in the position that I've had in a leadership position, not only as sheriff, but as a lieutenant running a hiring process, just seeing the numbers decline, you know, like I said, from 500, you know, 30 years ago, so when I got hired here, it was around a couple hundred, you know, and then it just kept slowly, you know, dropping. And then we just held a testing. We were doing some testing for an application process for a deputy sheriff, and we're just doing an eligibility list. We don't have an opening right now, but we had 17 people apply, you know, and only 8 people show up for the test. And that kind of hurts because if you go back to, you know, the start of this and how competitive, and that's a very common, you know, conversation that all law enforcement is having, you know, and we have an awesome partnership with Mid-State Technical College. They just hired Kurt Hoyer, you know, the our previous sheriff and retired police chief from Wisconsin Rapids to oversee the law enforcement academy there. He's replacing just an awesome person who just recently passed, Clark Poggle, but Kurt, I know, is going to continue Clark's legacy and is a great fit for that. And we were talking about it yesterday. What can we do to get, you know, the people interested in this profession again? And it's a challenge for all of us. And, you know, it's frustrating, but, you know, there's still a lot of, even when you have 8 people, you know, show up for the test, there's some, all 8 were great candidates, you know, so we're going to be able to fulfill our needs, but it's just frustrating sometimes when you look at the past of this profession, you know, and I could point fingers around, but I'm not gonna. You know, all we can do is try to be better ourselves in marketing not only our agency, but, you know, law enforcement in general to people. Hey, this is an awesome career. You know, if you want to protect and serve and make a difference in people's lives, join us. And it doesn't matter what uniform you wear or what patch you're wearing or badge. Yeah. We all do the same thing. And it's just an awesome, awesome career.
You don't have to point fingers. I will.
Okay.
because this falls on all of us. This falls on all of us. We let it get this way as a society. And if you're not taking responsibility for that, you're not part of the game. And we all have to take some personal responsibility with this. Those numbers go down. It's not a coincidence that the rise of coverage of police brutality or different things like that. And then you have a movement of a confusing movement of people talking about defunding and not defunding and this and that. And then it gets politicized. And then it turns into a whole different monster, and all of a sudden you don't even recognize what this was starting out as. You and I, one of our very first conversations was about bad police officers, and how there's nobody who dislikes them more than you guys.
Absolutely.
They make your job, a job that is already incredibly difficult, that much harder. How does that happen? Well, if people aren't applying for these jobs, what happens? You need bodies. You need people. And I'm not saying you're breaking, you know, protocols or anything like that. I don't mean that. But I mean, well, you've got these two people and this guy. Oh, you'd really like to have this person, but they get another job at an outlet that is kind of security, but it's pays better or whatever. And then you have to take this person who maybe they're not the strongest candidate, but they fit the bill and you need bodies. And then you wonder why you have people who probably shouldn't be wearing that badge. This falls on society. That is on all of us that this happens. There's nobody who can walk into this situation and say, well, I didn't do anything. Well, that's the point. You didn't do anything. Like, this, right. We can't expect our law enforcement, any of these organizations, and first responders even, or even firefighters or anything. We have this, like, as just citizens, we have this expectation of them, and then we don't do anything to help, that we just expect it to happen. That's not the way the world works. You get what you put in. If we don't have people putting into this, if you really want a better police department, it's not about defunding. It's about actually putting something into it. I'm not talking money. I'm talking about actual people putting into this industry and treating it with respect that it deserves, and them treating it with the respect it deserves, like you do, like so many of your staff do. I think it comes down to that too, about hiring processes and being smart about that. And that's a whole that gets into the other gray area of, well, we don't have many candidates, we need bodies, you know, that kind of thing.
No, and I appreciate hearing that. I really do. You know, going back to, you know, I can speak upon, you know, our process, you know, our team, our department, and, you know, I really feel we're sitting in a good position even with low numbers. It's just frustrating in the big picture to see low numbers for everybody. You know, it's not exclusive to the Sheriff's Department or Wisconsin Rapids Police Department. And that was a big, you know, conversation Kurt and I were having yesterday. I mean, do we join together, you know, and then recruit like in Central Wisconsin? Is that something that and we'll continue to discuss? You know, our process, you know, I truly believe in it. We have a civil service commission that is by ordinance the Wood County has, and it's been there forever. And we have a commission of people that there are people on there that I fully respect and love because I worked with them for many years, and they're giving back to, you know, Wood County by not only they retired from the Wood County Sheriff's Department, but they want to see us succeed. Mm-hmm. You know, and with my mentors, like I brought him up before, Dave Loudy, who's been retired now for 11 years, which I can't believe. Yeah, but
I see it on your face every time.
He essentially hired me, and then, you know, other people like Bob Lewandowski, you know, was my supervisor as an investigator. You know, he's part of the commission. And then Lee Garrels was another one of my leaders, part of it. And then, you know, Gus Mancuso, who I've got to know through coaching, through, hey, I'll be part of this. And then Mike Myers from Marshfield was a mayor up there who's been part of, you know, the commission forever. You know, I believe in them and the process that they do and give us the names to background and move forward with. So I personally, believe in our process, but it's just, like you said, James, it's frustrating, as a law enforcement leader, just to see the numbers decline. Like it did our last list that we did, we had around 30 people, and now we're cutting in half. And I think we just have to take a look at together on how we can, change that, because we pay well. We have good opportunities within our organization. A lot of good things are happening. We're moving forward with the jail, and we'll talk about that in a bit. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of good things. I thought we'd have more people apply, but
do you think? And I'm asking you to be a little bit hopeful and a clairvoyant here at the same time. But do you think that maybe those numbers might come back to rounding out a little bit better, getting a little bit more qualified candidates with the way that you and your staff and our Rapids Police Department, and so many different police departments around the country, are taking a different approach to law enforcement, and not a gigantically different game changing thing necessarily, but it is, because as you and I have talked about, and we brought this up on the morning show. You are the first person that I heard talk about truly stopping the revolving door of crime, and how do we do that? And it's not making the slap on the wrist a bigger slap or these things. It's figuring out why people are doing these things and asking that simple question. That's game changing, man. So I wonder, with seeing more and more of that, if younger people see these things and they think, well, I want to be a part of that. That looks that they're doing something there. I wonder, do you think that will help? It couldn't hurt, right?
No, I hope so. I think, and in how I believe in my heart, I hope so. Just seeing it, the downward trend is, and like I said, it's frustrating. But if you look at the partnerships that we all have, and I'm confident in number one, Kurt's ability. Mid-State has a great partnership with UWSP. Where people are getting the opportunity to get their 4-year degree, and then come and get credit for the academy through Mid-State. It's a great partnership. The DNR was heavily involved, and they had to step aside with it because it's not cheap. I think everybody understands the tuition, no matter what. Whether you're at Mid-State Tech or at a 4-year degree or 4-year college like UWSP, it's not cheap. But you look at those partnerships that you can get credit to go through the academy. It's I think that's a good opportunity to bring more numbers in. Hey, if people want to go the 4-year route, they can, and they can get credit for going through the academy. That wasn't like that when I went through. So there, I think if we continue to create those kind of opportunities for people, when they want to get into the law enforcement profession, a 2-year degree is awesome too. The only requirement is 60 college credits for us. We will put you through the academy. One of the last people that we hired, Terry Johnson, he was a sergeant in our jail, and we used to require you had to be through the certification process, that you already had to go on your own to do, to the academy. Great candidate, internal, and we'll do that for anybody now, because I think that's what's happening now, where you have to look at your requirements a little different. Yeah. And then, hey, if you don't have the academy behind you, we'll put you through it. We're not going to get you on the road for, several months. But I also look at that as an investment. Now, you're our employee and you're going through the training. We're going to see how you go through that. Mm-hmm. That academy, and we do most of them, we do all really with Mid-State, and it's that partnership that we have. But I know I'm kind of going in circles, but I think
it's that kind of topic.
I'm optimistic and hopeful that as we move forward, that you'll see numbers go up, and it's not going to be a decision or idea that I come up with. It's going to be something that we come up with as a team between law enforcement agencies, because it's not exclusive to the sheriff's department. I mean, a lot of sheriff's department are having even harder times, filling their corrections positions. Yeah. And, maybe after break, we can talk about that a little bit too, because that's a tough job and they're part of the team. A dispatcher, a corrections officer, a deputy sheriff, investigator, mister, we're all part of the team, and sheriff's departments are obviously different than their police departments, because what do we have? We have a jail. Yeah, we have to have a jail. Well, we don't have to, but we need one. Right. You know, but
we'll get into that a little bit more okay. when we come back from break. We're speaking with Sheriff Sean Becker today. Of course, a big shout out to the Wood County Sheriff's Department and our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more excitement and fun and information here on Morning Magazine at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone, to Morning Magazine here on WFHR for this October 5th, 2022, 10:31 on the clock. We're speaking with Sheriff Sean Becker, and of course, we have our friend Taylor from the Wisconsin Rapids Community Media with us as well. Sheriff, we are touching on this a little bit before. Coming up on October 18th, going to be a groundbreaking ceremony for the new jail, the Wood County Jail Project, as it's called. It's going to be a fun moment for everybody, but I imagine, too, a bit of a relief for everybody, too, for everybody behind the scenes involved with this.
Yeah, I got asked to speak, and I tell you, it's hard to put the words in together in perspective. It really is. I mean, it's going to be quite honestly emotional for me, just because my background wasn't in corrections. You know, I started in patrol and worked my way, not that I ignored corrections, because again, they're part of the team, but that wasn't my background. And then once becoming sheriff, you know, one of the first things we did, not I, what we did was sit down with, you know, our jail personnel, our jail leadership, Captain Ted Ashbeck, and we sat down and we talked. We looked at our jail, you know, we looked at some numbers, you know, and some true costs, and the light bulb started to go on, not just for me, but for all of us, and that was about 4 years ago. So we're looking at that and saying, okay, there's a lot of cost here without a county housing. And we can't ignore the fact that, you know, our county board, you know, like 20 years ago, looked at this and took a hard look at it. And, yeah, we needed something then, all right? And just at that time, it wasn't the right time for our county. You know, our leaders at the time didn't want to move forward with it. But what changed? Well, the need got even more of a need, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, the need was there then, and then it kept building. You know, it kept building and building and building. And then, yeah, the out-of-county housing costs started rising. But now you look at the facility. And I know we've talked about this probably in the last 4 years every time we're on the show. But the people deserve to know where we're at, because this is a cost. But anyway, the building is in – there's so many issues that are coming up with that. And then the costs with that, you know, you look at that. And then the liability concerns that we're having, you know, with, you know, the suicides that were occurring in our facility. And then, you know, you look at staff retention, you know, which is a huge one for me. You know, you have that. And so you have all these, you know, and then inmate program, which we talked a little bit about. And I'll say it again, you know, if somebody makes a mistake in our community and they get sentenced to jail, all right, we'll give them opportunities if they want to succeed, if they want to get better, whether it's an addiction issue or if it's a job search issue or if it's just how to manage your money. You know, we're continually looking at options to help people that are in the facility if they want it. That's on them. But if they take advantage of the opportunity, get released, and that door isn't opening back up for them in our jail, but it's a door opening up somewhere in the community, whether it's a job or something, where they're getting on the right track, we all win. Right?
Yep.
You know, so you look at all those things that are, I'm so proud of our county board for looking at, you know, it wasn't my idea. You know, it just really started off with the communication with Ted, you know, and then after being sworn in as sheriff, you know, I had one of the county board members come up to me, Supervisor Donna Rosar from the Marshfield area, and just pulled me aside. And she goes, you know what? Maybe we should take a look at this jail project again. And I'm like, yeah, I'm all ears. I mean, again, it's not about me personally. It's about, okay, is this the right thing to do right now? And then our team started building that, and then moving forward with, you know, we had the presentation done by an architect, Venture Architects, about a jail study, and that answered some questions, but the county board wasn't convinced yet. And then when our chairman, Lance Plimmel, assigned a jail ad hoc committee of people that really were still questioning it and not supporting it. You know, one of them being Laura Valenstein, who came in with just really good questions. I'm like, we got to answer these, not only for her and the committee, but for our taxpayers. you know, and that's where things really started to evolve. Mm. You know, we're touring other jails, you know, asking lots of questions and talked about those needs and how much they've gone up throughout, you know, the years. And then to get where we are, I'm very proud to be part of the team, not just the Wood County Sheriff's Department team, but proud of the community, you know, the support of our mayors, mm-hmm. The people out there, and again, our county board. I mean, we did right. We didn't hide anything. We were out there, you know, speaking, you know, doing many events throughout the county, very transparent, you know, if you had questions, so people understood the direction we're going in. And again, just to be at that moment when the county board about a year ago voted to move forward the project, I was speechless. Yeah. And it's hard for me to talk about how everybody worked together. You know, everybody has different ideas, but when you come to that point where you can't ignore it anymore, you know, and you have to really put things together and decide what direction we're going to go. And it's not like we're building a Taj Mahal. Hmm. You know, as we went through the phases of, you know, designing the facility, it wasn't like we're adding all these extra things. It was, there was a complete involvement of our county board, our a director of our grounds, Ruben Van Tassel, and, you know, the project manager, our architect, and, you know, so many people had a hand in this. It's not like we're trying to continue to add extras.
Yeah,
it's what the needs are. What really hurt is inflation.
Yeah.
You know, that, and again, going back to our county board, you know, a couple weeks ago when they had addressed that, when the project goes up almost 60%, I was almost devastated when the bids came in, and then the next day we went over them and what that cost number was and what it has grown to. I was in shock. Mm. You know, and I know our county board was in shock. I know everybody was. And then what do? You know, I mean, we are committed. And then I go back to our county board in an open meeting. All right, what do we do? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, how do we get by this?
Yeah.
You know, do we walk away? And they didn't. Huh. You know, and hearing our county board members stand up and talk about it, you know, and Bill Clendenning and Laura Valenstein bring up and talk about employee retention. Mm-hmm. And we had a lot of our team there. I know when they heard that, you know, they heard that, you know, our county board talking about it, made them feel so much more valued. You know, here you've got this project that now is growing in cost, but, you know, when we're losing corrections officers, you know, over and over, and part of it is because of the environment of the jail that they're working in, it's a stressful job to begin with, but then when you look at a facility that's hard to manage and hard to watch people, it's a stressful, very stressful job for corrections officers, and to be recognized by our county board that's a factor in why we're moving forward is very humbling. And it shows that they not only care about our community because the need is there, but they care about the people that wear the uniform and come in day out, whether it's day shift or night shift, and they come in and they do their job. And that's, I really don't have a word for it. Like I said, the speech that I'm going to have to give is going to be hard because of what so much has gone into this. You know, it's not about me. Mm-hmm. It's about us. And I'm so proud of our county board for continuing to focus on the needs and us and moving forward. I wish we'd done it 10 years ago, and I could point fingers in any direction, but I'm not going to. It wasn't the unfortunately right time, but it saved us a lot of money. Mm. Oh, absolutely, it would.
Yeah.
But that's out of our control. We're here now. We're moving forward with the project, and it's open to the public on October 18th around 10:30 ish. We're going to do a groundbreaking ceremony, and I ask anybody in the community to come out. It's a proud moment for us.
Yeah.
I know that sounds odd to say because we're building a jail, but just the way it was done and to be part of it, I'm extremely humbled and proud to be part of.
I appreciate every bit of that you share, and I always appreciate these conversations, especially because that's the kind of man you are. Two notes on this real quick. One, we talk a good game about buying local, shopping local, supporting local. Do you think that stops with our departments or our city workers? No, that it means the same thing for them as it does for a local mom and pop business or something like that. That's as important with that. If you tell me we're going to save 1-2 lives having a new building, I'm all in. Tell me where we go here. I don't think it's not as if, though, we're saying that we're not begrudging people their questions or anything like that, or any, because as taxpayers, you have to make this decision all the time. Do I want more money, or do I want roads I can drive on? Do I want a safer community, or do I want more money? Do I, you know, these things and stuff? And I'm proud of this area because, for one, so much of the times that we see nonprofits getting influx of donations, you know, in a community that isn't, it's not like as if we have a ton of Bill Gateses running around this area or anything like that. And you still do this constantly with something like this, especially because I've been in this area about 20, 25 years, and this has been an issue as long as I've been here. I've heard people talking about needing a new jail. I've seen stories of an inmate or somebody who works there who is hurt or even worse, killed because of some of the things that just are, this jail is not built for 2022. It's not, you know, it's got to adapt, and it can't adapt. So what do? We have to build something new. And it's something that everybody can take pride in because And I apologize if this isn't a great analogy or metaphor, but we may not like them, but every community, especially rural ones, you got a cemetery. You need to. You got to do something with those, right? You can't just throw them in the river. You got to put them somewhere. It's no different. You need a jail. You need a strong, good jail. One, for safety reasons, certainly for our officers, for the people working there, for the people that end up in there, all those factors. But it is also a sign of a strong community, similar to a library or having a nice multiple cemeteries. These things, that's a thriving community, and other people see that. And you could talk to Mayor Blazer about this, or any mayor in any of our surrounding cities, Stevens Point, Marshfield, Plover, all of them have the same issue. How do we keep people in town? How do we bring new people to town? If I'm somebody and I'm looking at Rapids here and I see that they just built a brand new jail and they have this new YMCA and this and that and those things and stuff, all of a sudden this area seems a little safer to me, seems a little more like I want to move my family there. Even if it's one family, it's worth it. All of this stuff. The money is going to go up. Inflation is that way. We're going to have to adapt. That's all understandably, you know, a little frustrating and for people like yourselves, a little scary even a bit. But here we are. We're getting to this groundbreaking. We're days away from it. We're finally to a point where we're doing this. Now's not the time to do anything but be supportive of this, I would say. I don't begrudge people their questions or concerns, but I don't. It doesn't really amount to much right now if it's kind of holding back what needs to be done here. Yeah. The groundbreaking ceremony, the Wood County Jail Project, going to be October 18th at 11 a.m., 10:30, 11 a.m.-ish. Yep. Going to be over at 400 Market Street in Rapids on the southwest corner of the building. Wood County welcomes the community to the event. Light refreshments and desserts will be provided. Lunch will be available for purchase from Chatterbox Catering. You want to be there when Sheriff Becker is making his speech so you can make faces at him? No, I'm joking. Just kidding. It's a proud moment for this community. You're talking about a jail or something like that. No, it's not just a jail. It's a beacon. It is a sign to others. It is a sign to the rest of the community that this is going to be a safe community. This is a community. Yeah. We take this seriously. There's more to it than just that.
No, like I said, the teamwork to get where I are is very proud to be part of. I think I speak for many people. It took a while to get here, but it's because we vetted it and really looked at the need. And I'm excited to move forward with the project. It'll probably take about 2 years around there. So the plan is to get the jail portion done first, and then we can, you know, vacate the current one and then bring the inmates that are in WPAC and Adams back, and then those contracts will finally end. That's been a sore spot for me just because the inmates that are housed out of county are looked at as a revenue. Mm-hmm. I have no problem saying that. The two other counties are looking at that as a complete revenue, and that's it. And, you know, we've paid for a lot of projects in both counties. So people should realize that. You know, if you look at their facilities, especially with PACA, that entire facility, we've been housing people for over 20 years there, we paid for it. Bottom line, what county paid for it. So
it's a lot of money.
It is.
And you think of what this jail is going to cost and then what we've been spending on that, mm-hmm. things even out quite a bit. Like all of a sudden things start, especially as once this jail is up and running and all these mm-hmm. things, that you see a lot more of that paying its dividends at that point.
Right. So, yeah, please come out on the 18th. Be happy. If you want to make faces, I'm okay with that. As long as you do to everybody, not just me.
You're brave enough to make faces at a sheriff. I mean, it's a little like...
In my career, I've had a lot of faces.
Can only imagine.
So, yeah, we're good with that.
If you have any questions, you can call 715-423-1830. That's 423-1830. Take one last break, come back, and have more conversation with Wood County Sheriff's Department. Sheriff Sean Becker here with us on Morning Magazine at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Morning Magazine here at WFHR, locally grown radio. I have our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media in, along with our Wood County Sheriff's Department. We'll take you right to the top of the hour with some good conversation. During our break here, and we've been touching on this a little bit, Sheriff, and even Taylor here in the conversation, the most recent Netflix series, Dahmer, that debuted, it is a lot of people talking on a lot of different sides of this. I'm hearing a lot of people, some people, you know, the victims... the victims' families coming out and saying how it's sensationalizing these things.
Yeah.
People who are enjoying the show or want to see the show saying that it's a little bit of truth and a little bit of story.
Right.
I'm a silly actor, and so I just like Evan Peters, and I'm a huge fan of his. So I was thinking of watching it just for that, and
sure.
then I see all these things coming out and everything, and I don't know. It's kind of one of those. I don't have enough time to watch stuff anyway, but
yeah.
I've kind of, after all of this, I've kind of been like, well, I don't know if I'm going to watch it or not. But you both had something interesting come up in our conversation, and I just wanted to give a moment to it.
Yeah, it's you know, you're always looking for something to watch that is intriguing or you know, whatever. And for me, you know, with the law enforcement background and growing up through it, you know, back in the early 90s, I was, you know, in my early 20s, and it's dating me a little bit, but you remember it. You remember, you know, and then how it was sensationalized back then in the media, and then just the you know, the shock of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're right, the disclaimer out there with, you know, with the series, not everything's true, and then they do sensationalize, you know, some things. But yeah, it was something that Julie and I binge watched, and mm-hmm. you know, it made you think about, you know, hey, could there have been some levels of something prevented it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the horrible acts were going on for many years, you know, and then fingers are pointed. And I don't want to give up much to the listeners because you should watch it. But, you know, I do recall, you know, some of the things that were brought up about, you know, law enforcement and things like that. Because when you have, you know, terrible, you know, I don't think there are good words for it, what happened there.
Mm-hmm.
But people will analyze, okay, where could something have been changed? You know, and obviously mental health screams out at you, but, you know, even on law enforcement side of things, could there have been something that could have been done to prevent something? You just don't, you don't know. But I let the listeners to, I mean, if you, it's, you know, I want to say you're into that, but it's just an unfortunate part of our history. And they do a decent job of explaining the whole thing. And one thing, if, you know, you do watch, remember the victims.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of them.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, people should really think about. That tragedy created a lot of heartbreak for many, many, many people. And I feel the series does a decent job on that perspective, because really that's what it's all about. It's not about, I mean, you can say his name. It is about the people that lost their lives, mm-hmm. and then the families that had to deal with it, the aftermath. And you're exactly right. I think a lot of people are talking about why relive this tragedy, this horrible situation for our state. You know, but unfortunately, people do watch this, and unfortunately, it's part of the history.
Sarah Vowell, one of my favorite authors, she writes a lot about assassinations and different things, and she had a quote. I'm interested by death, but I have no interest in pursuing it or these things. There's a lot of people that find these subjects interesting, but have no interest in being a part of them or anything,
right.
or doing them or any of that. there's that part of society, and there's the part of society that you know, is younger and may have not even heard of Jeffrey Dahmer, which is crazy to think about for people like us.
Right.
But for the younger generations that don't know it or didn't experience it like we grew were, you know, growing up during it, it's a little different. So you certainly, you have these stories, important factor being, you know, well, this is the way we carry on and remember the victims, is being able to do these things. And there's no right or wrong answer, I don't think, when it comes to
right.
it. But I do have to say that it does bring me back to our earlier conversation about recruiting and about bringing in police officers and that. And if I'm a young person and I'm on the fence and I've thought about law enforcement and I watch something and it gives me a bad impression of law enforcement, then it makes me maybe not want to pursue
sure.
it. That becomes a concern. Just as much as it becomes a concern if I watch something and it makes, oh, I can get away with this. I can get away. That's no better either.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. So I don't know what the perfect formula is for entertainment and the real world,
right.
but it is something that as adults, as people who live in the real world, it's on us, the personal responsibility of being able to understand the differences of all these things.
Right.
There is entertainment and then there's reality.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to unfold with that, with the reality part especially.
No, I agree. It'll just, like I said, it's got a lot of people talking. It's, again, part of the very negative part of our history and our state. I'm not going to, you know, say anything negative about, you know, the Milwaukee Police Department, because that's not fair. What do you want to call it? It's a series. It's,
yeah.
it's TV. And they make it very clear that, you know, some things that they talk about aren't true. They are sensationalized. It's just, and probably is unfair to Milwaukee PD, too.
It's kind of, just as a writer, to me, it's lazy storytelling.
Sure.
Either pick a lane, either tell the story or tell it a fabrication and don't even create the character. You know, it's not as if there aren't a billion movies out there about serial killers and all these things and stuff. Like, you can do this artistically and do it right without kind of necessarily bringing in reality.
Right.
It's not a hard fight. That's not a big leap to make or anything.
Right.
But as it is, hopefully that it's one of those things that people do, you know, put in. Because Netflix could have solved this easily. The money they raise from this movie or awareness of the movie.
Give the family.
Right to the families.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Like, and all of a sudden, immediately, we're not even having half these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of that, a lot of the way they run their company, and a lot of those things.
Yeah, it's all about money, unfortunately. But people, if you do watch it, I'm not saying you should or shouldn't. There's at least a good perspective on addressing what the families go through during this terrible, terrible tragedy.
Yeah. These movies and everything, they're all about entertainment and stuff, but I think for a lot of us, we can also take, they are another bit of data so that we can hopefully figure out more of this. I never like saying this too much, or saying this on the air that much or anything, but we statistically, according to the CIA, FBI, I should say the FBI and their department that is focused on this, we don't know how many serial killers there are out there. We have no idea. We have no idea what the numbers are on that. So the more evidence we have of these things, the more hopefully we
awareness.
Can combat this stuff and more awareness of it.
Yeah, totally agree.
You brought up something else during the break I was looking forward to talking about, maybe even wrapping up with.
Sure.
The Smart Recovery Ceremony.
Yeah, tonight? Three Bridges.
Yeah.
Again, we're having another graduation with some of our inmates, as I talked about a few minutes ago. Took advantage of the opportunity, number one, realizing that they have an issue going on in their life that revolves around addiction, that most likely that's why they wound up in our facility. So they worked with Three Bridges on a substance abuse recovery program, you know, working on life skills and things like that. So we're going to have a graduation tomorrow in our jail. And I always attend those and thank them for taking, you know, thank the inmates that have taken the opportunity to work on getting better. And I'm proud of them, you know, instead of just sitting and doing nothing, they're doing something. So I don't know what number it is. We'll have to have somebody from Three Bridges come down and talk about a little bit more with me. But we've gone through several graduations now, and we track them after they're released. And I'm not aware of anybody that graduated that has been back in our facility.
Hmm.
And then just to hear the, their story.
Yeah.
You know, because not many people do listen to their story, and we do, and you know, what's next. And, you know, talk can be cheap. You know, mm-hmm. And I get that. Mm-hmm. You know, and people aren't perfect, and people continue to make mistakes. You know, and that's even with addiction. We know it's tough. It's not easy. That's why a lot of people are in our facility. But if they continue to work towards sobriety and making themselves better, not only for themselves but other people as well, and I think that's a true success.
It's the point of all this, the judicial system. I mean, it's what it all comes down to. It's not so that communities and counties can make money off of fines or bill, you know, or these things or nothing. It's we have this person, they made a mistake. Are they going to keep making mistakes, or are they going to turn this around and take this as a moment to turn their life around?
Right.
It's so encouraging to hear that about Three Bridges, and I'd love to have some of them, and it's been too long since we've talked to anybody over there. I see this every day. I'm a little spoiled on this one, on this front, because with my father, the first half of my life, my dad told us all the time, this is it. This is the last time I'm going to jail, guys. I'm never going back. And he meant it every single time, and we believed him I don't know if my mom did. Believed him every single time. And then it would happen again. And then it would happen again. And it was about 20, 25 years ago, somewhere around there, wherever it was, where it wasn't something that happened with my brother or sister or my mom or his parents. It was all this accumulation of all these things, and my dad sitting there and making this decision himself. This is where this stops. This is the end. And now I don't even think my dad jaywalks. I don't think he does anything anymore or anything like that. Because he got it. It clicked. It got through. And he had to make that decision. And every one of these people that are graduating this ceremony got to that place. And they deserve a tip of the hat for that, as much as they deserve also to continue to go into society and put back into it, because that's the goal of this whole thing.
Right.
Jails, prisons, this whole system was not a business. This is not to make money. This is not something that it was designed for that. It was designed to make our society better. Mm-hmm. Everybody makes mistakes, some bigger than others.
Yep.
Are you going to continue making them, or are you going to try to better your life and better your community? And these people are doing that.
Yep, they are.
Big shout out to Three Bridges, to you guys and your staff, and all these people that are graduating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
We're in our last minute here, Sheriff Ed, as I just realized. I was actually going to jump into a whole other topic, and I just realized we're already running out of time. I always like to put this out there, though. If people have follow-up questions, they want to talk to you about other things, how can they reach you?
Give us a call, directly at my line, 421-8705, or front office, 421-8715. Feel free to give us a call if you have any questions, whether it's about the jail or anything. Feel free to call us. We'll do our best to answer your questions.
Also, a big thank you to Taylor and our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Always great work. You have to believe me. Just go ahead and go to YouTube, subscribe to their page, and keep up to date on all the great work that Wisconsin Rapids Community Media is doing. Be sure to follow their Facebook page as well. Always good to see you guys. Sheriff, we'll talk again next month.
Looking forward to it.
You guys.